Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Michaela Lafrac. And Vermont got some rough business news this month when iSun, the largest solar firm in the state and one of Vermont's few publicly traded companies, declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. iSun's subsidiaries include the residential solar installer Sun Common that's based in Williston. The company reported a $19 million operating loss for 2023, and the financial status of the parent company, not much better. iSun reporting losses of $250,000 a week. This is sobering news for a solar manufacturer that employs nearly 200 people, many of them based in the Green Mountain State. And we reached out to iSun and extended an invite to today's show. They did not respond to us. But joining us to discuss what has led to this bankruptcy filing is Fritz Burkhardt, a chartered financial analyst and vice president of CFA Society Vermont. He also teaches finance and economics as a professor at Champlain College in Burlington. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's start with some context on how big a solar company iSun is. How many people does the company employ, and what's kind of their range for service?
Sure. So iSun employs roughly 275 employees, and they are particularly active in Vermont, the Northeast, and also in the Southeast. They do have some operations also just throughout the U.S.
Was this bankruptcy filing a surprise to anybody in the industry watching these things?
Well, to be honest, there have been quite a few bankruptcy filings that we have been seeing. Throughout the industry, we have seen 15 major solar companies declare bankruptcy, and we've seen between 50 and 100 other smaller solar companies just shutter their doors, close operations.
So what's led to these huge losses?
Well, there are a couple of huge things that are going on. One of the big issues which is facing the solar industry is actually the increase in interest rates. From the low rates that we saw, effectively 0% in early of 2022, we've seen interest rates increased over 5% by mid-2023, where the Fed has increased these to combat inflation. But the thing is, our higher interest rates have made the borrowing much more expensive. And so companies like Sun Common, they help provide financing or help secure financing for their for the groups which are putting up the solar installations. And the higher interest rates have made the borrowing more expensive. Since the solar installations typically last, 25 years, if the interest rates are a key determinant of the amount that people are willing to pay today. So, for example, if I were looking to put solar panels on my house to be able to cover my electricity needs, when the rates were at, the lower rates at 0% or, 2% is what I might have to pay on it here, I might be willing to pay, $15,000. Now, if I am looking now at the higher rates, I might be willing to pay only $9,000 to $10,000 to make it worthwhile to cover what I need in terms of my electricity. And so that has really hit companies like Sun Common and the other solar producers, or not producers, but the solar installers.
But you were saying, Professor Burkhardt, that,
yes,
These solar panels can last up to 25 years.
I mean, correct.
Couldn't the argument be made then that you're making a longer term investment, whereas your interest rate to start might be high, but maybe this will pay out over time?
Well, that is taking all of that fully into account. Is that difference makes it so there's a difference of roughly 35 to 40% just based upon the increase in these interest rates. And this is something which has really hit solar contractors, because they need to make the fully installed price worthwhile for their customers, so the customers will actually purchase from them. Residential margins are generally higher than those of commercial margins. But what we saw in 2023 was the sales of iSun, the residential sales, fell by roughly 16%, while commercial sales were up roughly 88%.
So commercial sales were higher, but residential, it's a little tougher to get those panels up.
Well, with residential sales, it's a higher margin business. And so so you generally want to have a fair bit of residential sales here. For commercial sales, you want as much as you can. You want to be able to achieve significant scale. but they're not fully there yet in terms of being able to cover the selling, general, administrative expenses on both the residential and the commercial side right now.
So what does this mean for workers in Vermont? I mean, SunCommon, the subsidiary of iSun, they were purchased by iSun in 2021, is that right?
Correct.
So I mean, what are we looking at here for local jobs?
So one of the interesting things is the bankruptcy filing that iSun filed is a Chapter 11 and not a Chapter 7. Often people think about a Chapter 7, which is a liquidation of assets. The Chapter 11, which is filed by iSun, is different. This is something which United Airlines has filed. And what the Chapter 11 allows, it allows for a reorganization. And so the company is actually going to be able to continue to operate while it is in bankruptcy. They've gone out, they have secured a certain amount of financing to allow them to operate in bankruptcy. They did that just this May. But their interest rates that they were paying on their debt were really substantial. They restructured their debt first in November of 2022 with a particular convertible, which is called a floating price convertible. To finance people, it's referred to as a death spiral convertible.
It doesn't sound good.
It's not a good thing. It's often it's one of the last resorts that people will rely on, because what this fixed price convertible does, it allows you to convert the bond into a number of shares, a floating price convertible does. It allows you to convert the shares into a set value. So for example, if I have a $1,000 bond and I have a regular, if you will, regular convertible note, and say it converts into 25 shares. If the stock price goes up above $40, I benefit. My interests are aligned with the shareholders because I want to see the company do well. I want to see the stock increase. However, with a floating price convertible, if I have a $1,000 bond and the stock price falls to 25, or sorry, let's say it falls to 10. If it falls to 10, I can convert then into 1,000 divided by 10, I can vote into 100 shares. Hmm. If it goes right, if it goes even further, it falls to 5, I can convert it into 200 shares. So I have an incentive to actually try to push the stock price down. So I can start shorting the shares. So when anybody is ready to pay a higher price for it, I will just sell at that higher price. I will hope that the stock price will fall. And then when the stock price falls, I can convert a portion of the bond to cover my short and then continue this process again. And what this did for iSun is it took away one of the avenues for them to get additional financing. Hmm. And so iSun was running losses in 2022, 2023, which they were partially financing that through equity issuances. But what we've seen with this death spiral convertible is we saw the stock price fall 90% in 1 year, and then another 90% in the year after that. Here,
that's a huge drop.
It is a very humongous drop. You know, from a high of $26 to under 20 cents is what we saw. And so, the company was working hard to refinance that debt. And they did so in December of 2023 with a note with a rate of 16.25%. But still, the company was not seeming to be cash flow positive, and so they had to restructure again in May. So they went with this bankruptcy, they secured first $1 million and then up to $4 million in what's called debtor in possession financing, or DIP financing. And what this should allow iSun to do is it should allow them to go through a bankruptcy process. We're expecting that we're going to see this through Chapter 11, but it will probably be structured as a 363 sale. So what that means is that iSun is going to need to make some improvements in their operations, but they're probably going to sell off various elements of their divisions, and they've got a stalking horse bidder to be able to set a floor of the price which they're going to be able to sell.
So better that they're in Chapter 11 than Chapter 7, is that mean that?
Correct.
Very
in
much, because they can keep operating.
They're going to be able to keep operating. There will be opportunities for people to be able to, you know, to keep jobs, but there probably will be headcount reductions. We've seen with reductions in net metering, we've seen with Sunrun, that they are no longer going door-to-door to be able to encourage people to do solar installations. You have to find them at like Lowe's, Costco, or somewhere else.
So they're kind of looking for another buyer right now, and maybe they can keep some of these jobs that are local.
So that is the hope, that we will see a bid for the company, or at least divisions of the company, because there are a lot of great reasons to believe that there could be great things happening in the solar industry. I mean, the future is bright with the Inflation Reduction Act, technological improvements. The operations of the company could look quite good. It's just going to have a very different set of owners.
Really appreciate you explaining this to us. Fritz Burkhardt teaches finance and economics as a professor at Champlain College in Burlington. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.